Before you start listening to this podcast, we've got a special subscription offer. You can get 12 issues of The Spectator for £12, which will give you full access to everything on our website, and we'll also throw in a free £20 Amazon voucher. Just go to spectator.co.uk/voucher if you'd like to get this offer.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, The Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Katie Balls and I'm joined by James Forsyth and Kate Andrews. After days of speculation over what the government is going to do to help the self-employed, Rishi Sunak has appeared at a press conference today to unveil the package. Here's what he had to say.
So to support those who work for themselves, today I'm announcing a new self-employed income support scheme. The government will pay self-employed people who have been adversely affected by the coronavirus a taxable grant worth 80% of their average monthly profits over the last 3 years, up to £2,500 a month.
James, that's the Chancellor talking about what exactly the self-employed are going to be able to get and 80% of their profits, drawing parallels with what the employed are getting in terms of 80% of wages. Is this an equal package in terms of how far it goes?
It is pretty much equal. I mean, it is 80% of your profits. And I think the sting in the tail came in what the Chancellor said later on, when he basically said, look, everyone is getting treated the same, so everyone is going to have to contribute the same in future. In other words, the favourable tax treatment that self-employed currently get is going to come to an end. They're going to end up having to pay the same levels of national insurance as the employed. And I think that is a kind of inevitable consequence of this crisis, in that the justification for the more generous tax treatment of the self-employed was that they were choosing to take a bunch of the risk onto themselves. This crisis has shown that that approach is simply not sustainable for people at the lower end of the income scale, because they're just not going to be left with any cash to pay the bills. But I think after this crisis is over and the self-employed have lobbied so vigorously for this kind of protection, it's very hard to justify the differential tax treatment that they get compared to employed workers.
Yes, and when Rishi Sunak was asked about this in the Q&A, if his comments had meant that he would look to change what the self-employed pay in the future, he didn't rule it out. He said it was an observation that if you were being treated the same, that was something that as a society we would have to look at after the coronavirus, which was quite a clear hint that it might not be policy yet, but it does appear to be where we are going.
Yeah, it wasn't an observation about the kind of Downing Street rug or the quality of the... It was clearly quite a pointed observation.
Kate, what struck you from what the Chancellor offered today?
Well, the Chancellor gave the most generous package I think he could in the context of some of the most complex areas of the income tax code. I think James has hit the nail on the head when he said it was pointed, really quite stark. He said, if we want to benefit equally from state support, we must all pay in equally in future. So, well, nothing's been decided yet. I think when we come out on the other side of COVID-19, there's no doubt that income tax policy for the self-employed will be under review. There were a lot of pitfalls that the Treasury wanted to avoid, and I think did fairly successfully. They didn't want to end up paying out big sums of cash to really wealthy contractors or consultants, which is why they've capped it for the schemes only applicable to anyone with trading profits up to £50,000. They didn't want to end up paying out lots of money to people who use a self-employment status to top up their main income. So it's only for people who make the majority of their income from being self-employed. And of course, they wanted to avoid fraud. So this is only for people who are already in self-employment and have a tax return from 2019 to prove it. Now, of course, that does mean there are still some holes, and there will be further questions, I think, around benefits, welfare, universal credit to cover those who still might just fall outside of this scheme. But it's thought now that those who do fall outside of it were meant to, in the top 5% of the self-employed earners who, you know, will be earning far bigger sums of cash, who should be able to get through the coming months.
James, there was a bit of a kicker, wasn't there, though? Not just a perhaps higher payment in the future, but the fact that for all the money that is being offered, the grants, those who are eligible aren't going to be able to see that money until June.
Yeah, I don't think this is the problem. You're trying to devise an entirely new system at speed, and people want the money, you know, they want the money at the end of the week, and that is beyond the government's technological capabilities. I thought, you know, they obviously are trying to cover this by saying that the self-employed can access the business interruption loans that the government have put in place. But I think if you consider, I mean, how many years ago did the government start trying to introduce, to roll out universal credit? If you consider that in any normal time, the speed of these government schemes would be considered to be highly ambitious.
Kate, let's talk about what this means for the general state of the economy and perhaps what will be left of the economy when we are through coronavirus at some point. The estimates that this could cost about £3 billion a month. In the Q&A, one of the things that came up was the Chancellor concerned about the impact of spending this much money? For example, if you look at what's happening in America, that is again another worrying sign in terms of potentially the cost of coronavirus. You've written about the America figures on Coffeehouse today.
So the UK and the US are taking some similar but also some very different approaches to their emergency stimulus packages. Both countries are offering billions and billions of pounds worth of business loans to try to get businesses through this time where they essentially have to hibernate and operate without customers and without profits. But America's been putting a lot of money into income top-ups for individuals and households, and also a lot of money into insurance schemes around unemployment, so really increasing unemployment benefits. The UK has been putting money into trying to get businesses and now also the self-employed through this process by sustaining wages so that when the economy can kickstart again, people can go straight back into work because they'll have jobs to go back to. So those measures are quite different. And it's a little bit too soon to say which one is going to be truly successful at the end of all this. But as we've seen in the States, because there has been less protection around wages and around jobs specifically, there has been unprecedented isn't really even the word for it, a baffling spike in the number of people trying to claim welfare benefits because they are now presumably jobless. We went from under 200,000 less than a month ago to over 3 million people trying to claim jobless benefits. This spike is just completely unprecedented in American history. It's completely overwhelming, and it suggests that the unemployment shock in the UK, when those figures come out, I think the first estimates expected next week, is going to be absolutely staggering. So it's a little bit too early to say, as I said, which system's going to prove to be the best one in the long run. But it's definitely the case that in the states where they're trying to prop up people's incomes through direct cash payments instead of keeping their jobs afloat is seeing a really big spike in people who need more benefits.
I mean, there is a big question here. The number of people trying to access universal credit suggests that despite the government schemes, lots of people are being laid off. And we've talked a lot of times, you know, in UK politics, you know, the UK economy has seemed to kind of carry on creating jobs come what may. That has obviously come to an end with this crisis. But I also think that there is a kind of big moment for business here, because the government has offered them unprecedented levels of support. I think if businesses don't do everything they can to try and keep on staff, to furlough staff rather than to sack them, then I think that will have big public consequences for voters' views of enterprise and how pro-business they want their politicians to be. I think there is a sense at the moment that this is a kind of shared national effort. And I think if there is a sense that businesses are choosing to sack people because it is easier than furloughing them, I think there will be quite a big backlash at the end of all this.
Okay, if we're looking in this area, when it comes to getting companies to, I suppose, behave or go along with what the government is looking for, and we keep hearing from the government how they're saying, do not lay off your employees, look at what we're offering first. Do you think public shaming perhaps has a role to play in this? Because I've been struck in recent days how on social media, there's a lot of praising companies which have clearly said they're going to keep employees on, and the opposite when actually companies either trying to stay open when they don't need to be, forcing their employees to work, or laying off staff.
I think the reputations of companies, and certainly the personal reputations of, say, famous bosses in the UK, are very much on the line right now. And I've seen a lot of this too, Katie. Absolutely, people are already engaging in naming and shaming employers who aren't looking out for their staff. The question is, will people continue to do that and vote with their feet, say, perhaps not go and buy a certain pint or not go book a certain airline ticket when the economy kicks back into gear? Because it's quite easy to type a tweet and say, well, I'm never supporting this business again or doing that again because of how they treated their employees. But when we're all allowed back outside on a Saturday evening or we're all allowed to travel again, where does people's money go? I think on balance, business will probably come out extremely well from this because, well, you do have the select employer or company who's getting into a lot of trouble for, you know, encouraging their employers to come to work. You have far more businesses, big and small, who are, say, stopping all productions to now create ventilators that the government can buy, or staying open and turning themselves into takeaways to supply food for local areas. So I think this could be a real moment for business to actually not prove its worth. Business, I think, in the UK is always thought to be a relatively good thing, but just to show how vital it is in a crisis. It's not just the government that's going to step in, it's businesses as well. And as James was saying before, you know, it doesn't matter how big the government welfare scheme is. Some people are going to lose their jobs. Some people are going to fall through the cracks. And it's up to the private enterprises and civil society to look after those people as much as possible. And this is their opportunity to do so.
And finally, James, there's clearly many uncertainties in the weeks and months ahead. We heard today at the press conference the deputy medical officer saying that you could have 6 months of social distancing in terms of dealing with the coronavirus, but even if you were to have 6 months, it would be unlikely it'd be static. It could, you know, go up and down in terms of what people are able to do. What do you think the sense in government is in terms of how long businesses are going to have to be closed in terms of restaurants and pubs, how long they're ultimately going to be having to pay for most of the country to not go to work?
Well, I thought the tone from the Deputy Chief Medical Officer today was quite interesting. It was a little bit more upbeat than we've heard previously. She was very keen to kind of walk back that idea of a kind of maximalist interpretation of her 6 month social distancing comments, and just making calls today. There are more people talking in terms of a 3 month time frame than you had, say, on Monday or Tuesday. So I think there is some change, but I think it is very hard to know what's going on. You know, there's that whole, I think last night there was quite a lot of excitement that the death rate, while awful, was actually showing a decline, and people thought, that is a bit of good news. It turns out that is in part due to a change in the way that they're being counted, because there are now so many of them. I think the kind of crucial mood changer was Neil Ferguson, the imperial scientist on whom the government is on whose model has such an influence on the government, you know, saying that he thought right now this was going to stay within the NHS's capacity to deal with it. I think if that is the case, then I think that we could be looking at things getting back to normal mid-summer. But I think the honest answer to all of these questions is nobody knows. And I think in a way, the really hard question comes, which is 3 months of these restrictions is clearly very bad for the economy, right? But there is still an economy left after it. If you start looking closer to a year, then I think we get into a much more difficult question about the trade-offs, how many lives are lost by having a smaller economy, and so on. So I think no one wants to say anything of any confidence, because everyone is braced for huge pressures on the health service. But I think there is a little bit more optimism, perhaps, than there was earlier in the week. But I would add as many caveats as I possibly can to that.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Kate. And while we have you here, do check out this week's Edition podcast, in which I speak to James and William Hague about the lasting impact coronavirus is going to have on the UK.